Our reading, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour me, and when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high on a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. In his temple will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have always been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my enemies. Do not hand me over to the desires of my enemies, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will seek the goodness of the Lord. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. Amen.
Thank you very much indeed, Audrey. Thank you. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come and speak to us through Holy Scripture. Reveal your word to us. Help us to discern it and through the week to go on thinking about it. Help us to use it to pray, to seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hope you agree that it's a really appropriate text for the year ahead and the situation both nationally in the world, but also particularly for us as a church. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This psalm and those that immediately surround it are psalms that David writes when he is literally fearing for his life. You have to understand the psalm in that context. At one point in the psalm, and think of the sadness of this for a moment, at one point in the psalm, he says, even if my mother and father betray me. Even if my mother and father betray me. This is the psalmist at his most vulnerable. This is the psalmist fearing for his life. And do go home. We'll be reading it again tonight at Prayer and Praise. Do go home and read Psalm 27. It is a most beautiful psalm. And yet, he says this, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David does have a particular goodness in mind. And for a whole set of you this morning, I want it to be a huge word of encouragement. The thing that he has in mind is that whatever is happening to him now, even though in this moment he can see no future for himself, he can't see beyond his oppressors, there is one thing he still believes he will be able to do. Do you know what that is? The clues are given in the earlier verses. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And in verse 6, then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Do you know what he's believing he will one day still do again? Worship with the people of God. Sing and make music. Isn't that fantastic? He believes, even though he can't imagine it, that one day, he will still be free to sing and worship and make music to the Lord. Now, I want that deliberately this morning to be a huge encouragement to those of you who help in so many ways with our worship. Those of you who sing, those of you who play a musical instrument, those of you who read, those of you who make all of this possible at the back there. Today, Steve and Nathan, but there are so many others. Those people who come and put the wiring up, that put the chairs out. Everything that's involved. John and all his hard work behind the scenes. Why? Because he says, I will worship with the people of God again. He can't imagine it on the run. He can't imagine it. But in a way, he says, I remain confident of this. I will worship once again with the people of the Lord. Now, some commentators say that he is deliberately imagining being back in the temple in Jerusalem and worshipping. I actually think it's better than that for us. Because in the Psalms that surround this, David uses various words for places of worship. So he will use tabernacle, he will use tent, and he will use other words to show that wherever the people of God are, and wherever they are singing and praying and worshipping God, there is the presence of God. So this isn't just about, as some commentators say, his imagining being once again able to worship in the temple in Jerusalem. This and the verses that surround it show that David has an understanding that Jesus will bring to fruition, that wherever the people of God are, wherever they are like-minded, wherever they sing and praise and make music, there is the presence of God. The commentator I most like on the Psalms is a chap called Alex Motyer. Gets right back into the Hebrew very well. And he says at this point, this place on which we sit or stand becomes holy ground because of God's presence. A school becomes holy ground because of God's presence and our presence, because we sing and we worship to God. A community centre becomes holy ground because we gather and make music and sing and pray. And by the use of the words that David uses in the Psalms that surround this, it's clear he has a deep understanding of that. I've always been fascinated by Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well, possibly because I view her as almost the first missionary in a funny sort of way. Would you click it on? Thanks, Nathan. There he is, he encounters this Samaritan woman. It's culturally a most unusual encounter. Many of you know this. But when he's talking to her, have you ever thought about the words that Jesus uses? The Samaritans, you might know, believed that God was to be worshipped on a particular mountain. And the Jews believed it was the temple in Jerusalem. And have you ever thought about the profound prophetic words that Jesus says to her? Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. And later he says, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Can you see what Jesus is forerunning in this woman's mind? That it no longer matters the place or the building where the people of God gather, where the Holy Spirit is present, where they make music, where they sing, where they pray. There is the presence of God. Jesus revealed something really quite extraordinary to a woman who many people in his culture revealed he shouldn't even be talking to. It's an extraordinary revelation. And so I do hope those of you who sing, those of you who play, I do hope you feel suitably encouraged. And during the year, every time you see this verse, I want you, those of you who are involved in worship, to remember the importance of what you do. For David, the goodness of the Lord is imagining he will one day be free to worship again. Now, actually, prophetically, that is still very important in our world. Christians today are still the most persecuted group of people across our world. There are people in this world today, Christian believers, who absolutely could understand the meaning that David gives to this verse. People who can't meet in freedom. People who are persecuted for their faith. But for us today, I do want to as well give it an ongoing prophetic meaning. Firstly, he says this, I remain confident of this. I have someone I've known in preaching and teaching for a good many years, and he says this sometimes, rather controversially. He says his task is to make Christians less certain and more confident. I love that. Now, you may not, but his task is to make Christians less certain but more confident. I spoke about this a couple of months ago, and it does need some thinking about, especially for those of you training for whatever ministries God will call you to. Sometimes I do worry that Christians' certainty is really based on themselves, their view, their understanding. Confidence is very different. Confidence is about the one you are confident in. I think I said a couple of months ago when I was talking about this, the root word for certainty, of course, gives us the phrase certificate. A certificate is something you get for what you've learnt, for what you do. And bless the four of you when you come to your time at the end of this year and you receive your certificate. But it's what you do in that moment. People will applaud you. Confidence is what you gain when you trust in the Lord. Confidence is what you gain when you learn to trust in him. The beauty of confidence is that it always keeps you slightly humble. Certainty tends not to. And boy, do we always need a taste, a touch of humility. I remain confident of this. An Anglican bishop was once asked on a TV program, so what exactly happens at the moment you die? And much to the presenter's surprise, he said, I couldn't care less. And the presenter said, well, that's rather a strange attitude for a bishop, if you don't mind me saying. And he said this, the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead who took care of our sin, who took care of all of that, will most certainly take care of my death. What's he saying there? He's saying, I'm not going to come out and make some statement on TV that it's this and then it's this and then it's that. He's saying, I remain confident in the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. If you can understand what he's getting at in that moment, you can understand the difference between Christians who express certainty and Christians who are confident in God. If there's one task for us all in this year, it might be this: become a little less certain so that there's a degree of humility and a great deal more confident in the God of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. You could actually, literally, I think in the Hebrew, you could almost make this word into the godness. It's not a word, I know, but you could literally almost do that with it. You know what it means for David in the moment, but today for us, I really want to say to us, the goodness of the Lord is those moments when you and I, by God's Spirit, can express something of the kingdom of God into this world. Your generosity as a church towards me, towards others, is the spreading of the seeds of the kingdom of God in this world. Your generosity to the wider community, the things that you do, some of which for most people are greatly unseen. It is the godness. It is the seeds. It is the gyrocopter of the kingdom. Each of us has a part to play in this, in spreading the goodness of the Lord. Now, David's very clear in what he means literally here. In the land of the living, he means, before I die, I'll sing and praise and worship God again. This year, I want to ask us to concentrate not on when we die, but on when the goodness of the Lord will be seen in the land of the living. I do believe we will have to make important decisions in relation to the Cornerstone vision in 2020. I do believe that, and therefore this text speaks to us. Be encouraged by the fact that whatever decisions we have to make regarding the Cornerstone this year, be encouraged by the fact that it is the same Lord that will be with us whatever happens in this coming year. It is the same Lord. Just as our friends a year, 18 months ago, couldn't see beyond the immediate. I put a slide up here. Maybe some of you are here at this present time. What happens when we can't see beyond our immediate situation? In those moments, 18 months ago, when they suddenly announced without any notice that the Ernest Cline Wart Centre was closing, you're not able, are you, in those moments, to see beyond the immediate? But it's the same Lord that's got you through that. It's the same Lord that's seen us travel through that. In a way, the Cornerstone becomes not our tabernacle, not our tent. I suppose we're praying and seeking of God a temple, a place not in this historic sense of the word, a temple, but a place where we can put down roots and bless this community. But I tell you this, and I definitely, don't mishear me, believe that vision is 100% right. I tell you this, even if we have to make difficult decisions in 2020, wherever we worship, wherever we sing, wherever we pray, wherever we make music, it is the same Lord. We may change. Our motivations may change. God does not. It is the same God. So this is a year. Maybe there are some people here today who cannot see beyond their immediate situation. I'll be honest with you, I cannot now at this moment imagine being pain-free. I cannot, but I understand what the psalmist is saying. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I love the fact that at this moment, David doesn't care less about dying at this moment. What he cares about is to still see God's grace and blessing now. So what I want to ask you to do for the cornerstone, what I want to ask you to do with this text card is this. Pray your hearts out. Seek God's purpose. Seek God's will in this coming year. Pray for those involved in the funding opportunities group. But pray. Pray with all your heart. Pray for clarity. Pray for something significant in this 2020 year. And for any of you here for whom this is a tough time, for any of you who cannot see beyond the immediate, take this verse with you throughout the year. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. Not in the future, but in this life now. You will see it in the future, but in this life now. Amen. In large part, that confidence, as was the response of the Church of England bishop, in large part, our confidence comes from the risen King. It comes from the resurrection of Jesus. And so we're going to sing now, Come, People of the Risen King. If you're able, please stand to sing.